I'm Rick Hansen. Good. And this is, we're on the right track already. This is February 17th, 2016. And I want to talk about being amazed. And the context for that is, as you know, we've been exploring mindfulness, and especially in the very beginning of the year about mindfulness, what is the nature of mindfulness and some fundamental factors that support it, including, most recently, an emphasis on sustained present moment awareness, being in the present moment and clearly comprehending. That's really kind of the essence of the process. So what helps us do that? Last week we explored, among other related things, receiving experience and really staying in present time with it, and also receiving it with a sense of it coming to us and an intimacy with each moment of experience rather than going out and chasing it. Okay? So that was kind of a segue to this topic. And I'm interested in exploring with you tonight the themes that people talk about sometimes as beginner's mind, or looking at the world through a child's eyes, or a sense of wonder, or amazement, or not knowing, don't know mind. And as a entry into this topic, I would like to do something I've actually never done in here in all the years I've been doing this, which is read something I wrote. All right, so, but it seemed very timely. And then we're going to hear from Tarané something she wrote, and then we'll hear something Francis Bacon wrote, and then the Buddha wrote. And then we'll vote on whose writing is best. No. Okay, all right? Okay. So this is one of my Just One Things, goes out weekly, and this was the one that went out this week. And it seemed really timely and relevant here. So here it goes. The opening question is, are you paying attention? Which seems very good about mindfulness. The practice is, be amazed. And then the structure of these is, I do first why and then how. So why? Last night, stressing about undone tasks, I glanced in a mirror and saw my t-shirt with its picture of a galaxy and a little sign sticking up out of its outer swirls saying, you are here. A joke gift from my wife. I've worn this shirt many times, yet for once it stopped me in my tracks. In William Blake's phrase, the doors of perception popped open, and it really hit me. Yes, we are actually here, off to the edge of a vast floating whirlpool of stars, alive and conscious, walking and talking on a big rock, circling a bigger burning ball of gas. Here, now, nearly 14 billion years after the cosmos emerged out of nothing. What the? My mind stopped yapping, and I felt the delight and awe of a little kid who for the first time sees a butterfly, or tastes ice cream, or realizes that the stars above are really far away. Gratitude and wow, and something edging into, dare I say, sacred, washed through me. In a word, I was amazed, which means filled with wonder and surprise, even overwhelmed with wonder. Besides the simple happiness in this experience, it lifted me above the tangled pressures and worries I was stuck to, like a bug on flypaper. Amazement is instant stress relief. It also opens the heart. I couldn't any longer be even a little exasperated with my wife. Perhaps most deeply, being amazed brings you into the truth of things, into relationship with the inherent mysteries and overwhelming gifts of existence, scaled from the molecular machinery of life to the love and forgiveness in human hearts to the dark matter that glues the universe together. Wow. Really? Wow. How? Opportunities for amazement are all around us. I think back to that look in the eyes of our son and daughter as they were born, blinking in the light of the room, surprised by all the shapes and colors, entering a whole new world. Seen with the eyes of a child, The simplest thing is amazing. A blade of grass being licked by a puppy, the taste of cinnamon, riding piggyback on your daddy, or the fact that running your eyes over lines of black squiggles fills your mind with tales of dragons and heroes and fairy godmothers. Look around you. This morning I sat down to my computer, clicked a mouse, and chanting recorded in a Russian cathedral filled the room. Crazy. Imagine being a Stone Age person transported 50,000 years forward into your chair. Glass windows, pencils, flat wood, the smell of coffee, woven cloth, a metal spoon. It would all be amazing. Try to see more of your world in this way, as if you are seeing it for the first time, perhaps through the eyes of a child, if not a caveman or cavewoman. Beginner's mind, Zen mind. If you're not amazed, you're not paying attention. Explore don't know mind, not duh mind, but an openness that doesn't immediately slot things into boxes, that allows a freshness and curiosity. The mind categorizes and labels things to help us survive. Fine enough, but underneath this skim of meaning laid over the boiled milk of reality, we don't truly know what anything is. We use words like atoms and quarks and photons, but no one knows what a quark or photon actually is. We don't know what love actually is either, but it is all around us. It's amazing to me that people love me. Amazing that people forgive each other. That those once at war with each other can eventually live in peace. Consider people you know, how they keep going when they're tired, breathe through pain, get up yet again to walk a crying baby, settle down in the middle of an argument and admit fault and move on. To me, that a mother can embrace the young man who murdered her son is more amazing than an exploding supernova. And just as others are amazing to you, you are also amazing to them. If we were brave enough to be more often filled with wonder and surprise, we would treat ourselves and others and our fragile world more gently. Be amazed. And then Tarane kindly created a poem.
I did. I read Rick's post, and it was so funny because I had just written this little haiku that was exactly what he was talking about the day before. Yeah, it was yesterday. And I'm turning 60 very soon, and I was reflecting on that. And you know what yesterday was like, right? It was this bright blue sky, and it was just something about the day was like, all of a sudden, we've been seeing sticks, right? Trees are sticks. They don't have any leaves on them or anything. And I look up, and there's one of those trees that's just ablaze in blossoms, just like that. It was amazing. And so I wrote this. I like to write haiku because they're short. Don't take a lot of effort. They capture that moment, right? Yeah. And then after you're done reading it, it can just kind of resonate. Yeah. You don't have to get too into it, just a brief thing. So I wrote this. Bursting bright petals, even after 60 springs, oh, surprise my eyes.
Yeah, again, be amazed. We've never done this either. Yeah, when I saw Tarane's little poem, her haiku, I was amazed. It really touched me, and I thought immediately, how wonderful, you know, how perfect. And then we have Francis Bacon, who is a scientist and philosopher, a very able person, not someone that I normally think of, the little I know of him, as a mystic or poet or woo-woo middle-aged New Ager, right? You know, he lived in the Middle Ages. He says, though, he writes here, "We have only this moment, sparkling like a star in our hand and melting like a snowflake." Pretty good, huh? Francis had some game. Cool. Right? And then, I don't know why, but it somehow seems related, although it's not so much on topic. It just seems to me somehow to relate to all this, because there's something about wonder or awe, right? One of my friendly acquaintances, Dacher Keltner, at the Greater Good Science Center at UC Berkeley, is doing a major study funded by the National Institute of Health on awe and its power also in helping people grapple with difficult things. So there is something about wonder, awe, that, oh, you know, there was delight in me when Tarnay said that, and also love. There's something about that. So I want to read this bit here as well from the Buddha. It is said that he said, "May all creatures, all living things, all beings one and all, experience good fortune only. May they not fall into harm." And obviously all beings includes each one of us ourselves. May all beings, all creatures, all living things, experience good fortune only. May they not fall into harm. Wouldn't that be amazing? So, I thought, you know, it's kind of nice actually, we have a small group tonight. If you were up for doing it, talk with someone in a moment or two and know that you can also always sit this out. And I'm interested in you exploring with another person, and you know, one person for about 2 or 3 minutes straight, and then the other person for about 2 or 3 minutes straight, each listening to each other. What amazes you? Or what could amaze you? Right? Just an exploration. What is amazing? What do you find amazing? And what could you find amazing? Including as a support for your own sustained present moment awareness. Okay? You up for that? So we'll do that for about 5 minutes, then come on back and talk about it. You willing to try that? We haven't done a paired thing for a while, at least I haven't. Tarnay's gonzo in that area, but, you know. Okay, grab a partner, spread out, feel free to move. Pick an A and a B for simplicity. I do suggest spreading out so you can hear yourself think. All right, A's go first. What's amazing? What amazes you? What fills you with wonder and surprise, or could? A's begin. Start finishing. And switch roles, switch roles. Start wrapping it up. Okay. Come on back. Thank you, partner. Okay. All right. I have two little comments about this, and then I'm very interested in exploring with you what helps you in your own practice have more of this sense of kind of wonder, amazement, delight, just beginner's mind as you go through your day. So the first is that one point about amazement, surprise, delight, wonder, awe, is that it tends to bring us right in the front edge of the processing stream. And a quick recap, you know, the Buddha described the processing stream, the neuropsychological processing stream, 2,500 years ago in terms of five sort of components of or aspects of experience. And he said the first aspect is sort of bare sensation. And also there's physical reality altogether, whatever it is. So there's the bare apprehension of reality, plus reality itself. Then next is the sense of it being unpleasant, pleasant, or neutral, the feeling tone of experience. Then third, perception, which is where we label it and conceptualize about it and bring memory to bear. And then fourth, there is what he called the volitional formations, the sense of various other mental contents of mind, emotions, thoughts, plans, desires, personality types, and all the rest of that, and all of that contained in a space of consciousness. So the first parts of those, the first four, form, feeling, perception, the mental formations, those first four, pretty much describe the first half second or second when something happens. And the closer we can get to the front edge of the processing stream, the more we are in the present moment, which, among other benefits, strengthens circuits in the brain that help us feel connected to everything and one with everything, which has a lot of value. Okay? So isn't it true that when we're surprised, like in Tarnay's poem, surprise, still after 60 springs. So that's one of the benefits. I want to make that comment. Wonder, not knowing, just brings us right into the front edge of being here now. Okay? Second, very often related to this is gratitude. I honestly do find myself just factually feeling more and more like a little kid. I'll walk to my car and I'll think, wow, asphalt, amazing, right? And then I'll be like, whoa, it's downhill and the water's flowing this way. Whoa, gravity, amazing stuff. And then I'll pull up my key and it's not like I'm doing some weird thing. It just sort of arises. Like, whoa, keys, and the door opens and wow. It just has that feeling. And then you eat something and whoa, glazed donuts. Whoa, don't tell my wife. Like that. And you're grateful. The point is, throughout all that is gratitude. It's sort of like, wow, thank you. Wow, thank you. That's so much the spirit of amazement. Wow, thank you. Thank you. It's humbling. It's appreciative. Wow, thank you. So those are two comments about amazement. Okay, what are your comments or thoughts or interests in this exploration? Tom.
What came to mind right away and you spoke to it is, and I never really had articulated this before, is that everything is amazing. There's no one thing that isn't amazing. It's all amazing. I did a little gratitude practice earlier in the day, and I was grateful that I don't commute. I was grateful that I live in the San Jerónimo Valley and could see the roofline before the storm. All these things. And then, Will Pye talked about a year and a half ago here to be grateful for everything. And so that says everything is amazing, even what in first appearances is stressful, unwanted, unpleasant, and it is my job to open my eyes and see the gift in everything. Mm.
Oh, thank you very much. And Will wrote a book called Blessed with a Brain Tumor. So he's talking about real hard things. Yeah, thank you very much there. It's amazing to me, Tom, that if I can out you a little here, that you give your wife a long massage every night. That's amazing to me. Yeah.
It is amazing.
Yeah. That's great. Okay, others? Comments? What helps you? Great, Tarnay.
I have kind of a weird one. Sometimes I just like to remind myself that I'm not dead yet. And it gives me this feeling like, because I'm not dead yet, which will certainly happen sooner rather than later, I have the opportunity to do all these things that a person who is alive can do. Even if it's just walk from my kitchen table to my chair outside. I mean, that's amazing that I can do that, that I can breathe, I can eat breakfast,
Yeah.
That I can be nice to someone, It's amazing that I'm not dead.
That's great, thank you. Art.
Well, I'm just wondering if after we die, we're grateful that we're dead.
Yeah. Thank you. That's cool. Yeah, please.
This is such a simple thing that we talk about all the time, but I'm just so consistently blown away by the nature around us and the beauty around us. And, you know, I talk about this sometimes. I grew up in New York City. I moved here from the East Coast a year and a half ago. It's minus 11 degrees in Boston over the weekend. And I'm just so incredibly grateful that I'm not there and that I'm here. And I, you know, the plum trees are out, and I go to the coast and I go to the mountains. And in my old age, I've discovered the Grand Canyon. And I was there in October, going back in May. And I have this, what I guess is now a ritual, is whenever I can, to go to the bottom by myself. And to see, I feel like I can see time in a way that just blows my mind.
Yeah.
And I walk around for a few days just in a state of awe without interruption. And I love that feeling of how insignificant I am. I find it so reassuring and calming, and it just, every little worry I have, if I just imagine those layers, just disappears, because I just, nothing can matter.
That's great.
And those visions, those colors, and that sense of a beautiful, vast world that we live in, just really, just blows my mind. And really, this area that we live in, I just feel like, you know, the Bay Area is one of the just most amazing places in the universe, and I feel so grateful for being able to live there.
Yeah, thank you. It's fun to listen to other people talk about what they find amazing or could be amazed by, because it opens our eyes. You know? Yeah. Great, please. That's great. What helps you sustain this quality of receptive wonder, or maybe, don't feel you have to speak to that question, but I just want to put that on the table. You know, from a practice standpoint, what's supportive for you? If only bringing this to mind, or doing little things, because a detail. I have a kind of at this point a pretty faded clipping from an article. In which you can see you see this flat desert plain, and in the distance, a really small circle of light. And basically, it's sunrise on Mars, taken from one of those little Martian R2-D2 units. Sunrise on Mars. And with the sun's noticeably really small, because it's farther away, right? And I just look at that, it like pops me out. So, you know, that's a support for practice right there. So what supports you in this stance of receptive wonder as you move through your day, as you move through time or time moves through you? So that's a question, which you don't need to speak to, but I want to put it on the table. Yeah, please.
I'll speak to that, because I was playing around with something all day, and I read twice recently that some people use the practice of walking through a door jamb as a way to come awake, to pay attention. And have this wonderful new t-shirt, which is practically what you just said, all these exact words. If we're not at all, we're not paying attention.
All right.
So I've been wearing my new t-shirt, and you just said the same thing about amazement.
Yeah.
But then I've been practicing this going through the door. There's a lot of door jams. You know? And I thought, and then I got this little thing from the czar of mindfulness at Google, who they have five letters, and it's stop, breathe, notice, forget the next star, reflect, and then respond. So I've been taking those five things, which I think are really powerful ways to come into the present, and trying to, you know, when I go through the door jam,
notice, reflect, and then respond and move on. So
great.
This is my first day doing it, and I missed a lot of projects. So check in with me next week.
Okay, good. That's great. Thank you. Yeah, please.
Brooke. The thing that amazed me was just in thinking about how much I went out to dinner with my mom the other night, how much I love her. Like, I was overwhelmed when she was telling me a story about something. It expanded out of my body. Like, I couldn't hold it. It was just like how much I love her. And we went to Myanmar. My dad passed away 16 years ago, and looking at the water and having that similar sense of like his joy of taking us to the beach as kids. Mm. And it wasn't a missing, which sometimes happens, it was just a dad's here. And just that I can hold him so far, like so long past.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Oh, thank you. Great. Anybody else as we approach an end tonight? Yeah, please.
I have a question I'm kind of coming from the other side, but
sure.
I'm kind of in awe of what stops us from doing it, you know? What stops us during the day? Of course the things are busy and this and that, but almost if we don't give importance to it, you know? That's for me an important part too, like what stops me from doing it? So for me to understand that too, so I can see, you know, why am I not doing it?
Yeah, I think first, one thing that strikes me personally about it, with no claim to a complete answer, you know, or response to your question, is we tend to get really bombarded in modern life with demands on our attention and our time and our actions. And I think about what life is like for a hunter-gatherer. It's mostly pretty predictable. It's a familiar situation. Your options are really limited. And there's a lot of just hanging out or sort of foraging, looking around. But, you know, that's about it. And we don't live that way. And I'm not saying we should all live in the cave with lice and fleas and, you know, no pain control or anything like that, let alone no ESPN, right? You know. But my point is that it's very stressful to be bombarded, and then it becomes a new normal. You know, it's sort of like the fish doesn't notice it's wet. But that really tends to rob us of the capacity to regard moments as fresh. And just to survive, we turn everything into routines, or most things, which then robs us of that chance. So I think about that, and there's a part of me that I do tap in as a point of practice into my sort of rebellious, determined, quietly, you know, you're not going to push me around nature, and to say no to the culture and no to the demands of others and the rest of that. So that's one thing I think about. And a stance of being for yourself and creating a kind of buffer zone around yourself in which you claim a sanctuary. I think about the word you'll find so often when the Buddha is basically telling people how to practice. He says, you know, establish yourself in seclusion. He doesn't mean cut off from the world. He means where we're not so tightly coupled to the world. Many of us live our days, you know, as if we're connected to other people, events in the world, like with a metal bar. It moves, we move. Rather than a kind of flexibility, more like a bungee cord, where it moves and maybe we move a little, but it doesn't, you know, control us in that metallic kind of way. And to take a stance for ourselves about that. That's one thing that strikes me. The second thing that strikes me about it is how much of the time we spend in the inner simulator. You know, neurologically, it tends to be sort of the back end of the midline cortex, the default mode network. And we just spend a lot of time there. When you're the average person, when you ping them on their smartphone, 50% of the time, they'll say their mind was just, they were in the simulator. And there's a place for that. You know, you kind of consolidate learning there, and you can sort of plan how to be or imagine different things and so forth. But notice what it's like to be in the simulator. Much, you know, there's no sense of wonder or awe there, right? We're definitely not mindfully present in this moment when we're lost in the simulator. And you can think about contemplative training as, in a lot of ways, a training in being able to establish yourself not in the simulator, right? And so I try to be aware when I'm not aware. In other words, I try to be aware of when I'm going into that simulator mode and coming out of it relatively rapidly. And we're trained a lot to go into simulator through entertainment, because media trains that simulator mode. And I think partly because we're so bombarded in the culture, the first point I made, we tend to retreat to the simulator as our place of refuge. At least here it's quiet. Or at least here, you know, nobody's bugging me. Or I'm in my own world, you know, right now. So that's all. Anyway, I think about, to finish, Anne Lamott's TED Talk, which basically she had three words. And it was her spiritual practice for her. She said this is how she prays. These are her three prayers. Her first prayer is, wow. You know, her second prayer is, help. And her third prayer is, thank you. So, wow, help, and thank you. So, wow. If only minimally, wow, and thank you. So how about we just sit with that for a minute, and then we'll finish. Thank you. Wow. See you next week. Exploring mindfulness ever more deeply.